Today's word comes from Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This is one of the prison epistles that Paul wrote while he was under house arrest in Rome and awaiting trial. And he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, which was one of the first, or the first church he founded in Macedonia. So Philippians chapter 4. And I will read the first 8 verses. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodias and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you, will be with you. Our topic today is practicing the presence of the Lord. Practicing the presence of the Lord. And in this passage, Paul gives us a few tips on practicing the presence of the Lord. Practicing the presence of the Lord means to act as if the Lord is in our lives. That is something that, quite frankly, is hard to do sometimes, especially when we're going through things, but we still have to press on and practice the presence of the Lord, because God is present with us always. Amen. He is with us always. So I have 4 points I want to lift up today, and let me give them to you now, lest I forget later on. Number one is that we can practice presence of the Lord by being steadfast in the Lord, by being steadfast in the Lord. Number two, by being of one mind in the Lord. Number three, by rejoicing in the Lord. And number four, by living in the Lord. So the topic again, practicing the presence of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to share this gospel with your people on this day. I pray, Lord, that you have prepared me to share it in a way that can be easily understood, Father. And I pray that we come away from this lesson, this message, with opportunities to improve ourselves, starting with me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Practicing the presence of the Lord. Now Paul is writing this letter to the church in Philippi. That's where we get the name Philippians. And he is excited about the presence in the Lord, but He still has to, in his pastoral role over them, he still has to share with them and correct some conduct and that they are doing and encourage them to be joyful regardless of what's going on. And he tells them in chapter 3, he says, rejoice in the Lord and beware of the dogs and beware of evil workers. He lets them know that even though they're holy, not everybody around them is holy. So he's encouraging them. He's instructing them. And in chapter 3, he's also telling them to press forward towards the goal, to remember what your goal is in this relationship with Christ. So in everything you do, recognizing that we're pressing forward. We have a need to press forward. We cannot stumble. We cannot slow down, but let us press forward. And then he talks about using himself as an example and as far as how he handles the enemy. So, you know, he gives them practical guidance in this. And then in chapter 4, the first word is therefore. So therefore that I've said all of this, therefore that I've given you guidance, therefore, since we've gone over all these other items, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so steadfast in the Lord, beloved. And he's greeting with them in a way of encouraging them in this chapter to stand fast in the Lord. But he lets them know that he loves them and they are his brothers and his sisters. And let's analyze this again. My beloved and my longed for brothers, those the ones I seek to be with, you know, and I like the way the New King James words this, my longed for brethren. You know, in this time of pandemic, we cannot socialize like we are used to socializing. We cannot greet each other like we are used to greeting each other. And therefore, there are times when we feel like that our brothers and sisters are distant from us. And we need some encouragement every now and then to remind us that we are still part of the body. But just because we are out of sight does not mean that we are out of mind. Just because we do not see each other on a regular basis in person does not mean that our caring and our feeling for one another has dissipated. So what he's saying is, my beloved and long for brethren, the ones I long to be with once again, but I can't be with you, but I still love you and I still care for you. And he says, my joy and my crown. Now it's interesting, my joy and my crown, when we really look at this, let's put this in the context of the time. The crown. What was the crown? The crown was the crown put upon the winners of the race, of an athletic competition. The one who won wore a crown. So what Paul is saying is that you are my joy, you are my crown. We have already won through our relationship with Christ, and my joy is founded in the fact that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. So therefore, I consider ourselves winners. You know, sometimes other people see you better than you see yourselves. We see ourselves. You know, we don't see ourselves all the time as winners. We don't see ourselves at times as people full of joy. But others do. Others do see what's in us. Others do see the fact that we have won the race. Others do see the fact that we have been through the trials and tribulations of life, but yet we still are okay. We still have joy. Paul is sharing with them, encouraging them, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast regardless of what is going on. Never doubt your relationship with God. Never doubt your relationship with our Savior. Never doubt that he is still there And again, that last word in verse 1, beloved. And that goes back to the earlier part of verse 1. Therefore, my beloved. This is the relationship he has with the church in Philippi. This is the relationship he has with all the churches that have invited Christ into their life. He loves them. Even though he cannot be with them, he loves them. And he can encourage them from afar to stand fast in their faith, to stand fast in their love, to stand fast in all they know is right. Stand fast. Don't let the enemies cause you to lose hope, to lose faith. For we do have a crown reserved for us. So therefore, we need to act like we are royalty right now. For we are, because we are truly a child of God. Look at verse 2. Now he's telling them how much he loves them. He's encouraging them to stand fast. But in verse 2, he encourages them to be of one mind in the Lord. Be of one mind in the Lord. That's how we can practice Christ in our lives. And he uses an example of two women who have problems with each other. We don't know the situation. Here's what it says. I implore Euodias and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And in verse 3, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose name are in the book of life. So what he's saying is, he's saying, look, there are two women who I love dearly in your congregation who have labored with me in the gospel, who have accepted Christ, who are on the right path. But for some reason, they have an issue with one another. So for some reason, there has been a disagreement with them. Now, we don't know what this disagreement is, and quite frankly, it doesn't matter. But what we do know is that they were causing some problems within the fellowship. So Paul is saying, I implore these two to be on the same mind in the Lord. You know, whatever fellowship we have, there will be times of contention. There will be times where we might not agree on what we're doing. But regardless of how our personal feelings are, we need to be on the same mind, on one mind in the Lord. And when I think about one mind, I think of the illustration of we have seen various athletic events where things are synchronous, such as you've seen synchronous swimming, you've seen synchronous dancing where people dance the same. We've seen step shows where people, fraternities and sororities, step the same and they do it together. And when it's done right, everything looks okay. Everybody's in sync. We've seen soldiers march and in their uniforms, they look so nice in their synchronized stepping. But you know what? If somebody is out of step, they are the obvious one. They draw attention from everybody else so that one person who is not in step with the rest can draw your attention away from the hard work that everybody else has done. So when I see this, Paul is writing to them out of love. He is not being critical of them, just to be critical of them, but he is imploring them to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, we do have differences, but be of the same mind in the Lord. Remember what our greater goal is. Let our fellowship be pure. So as we see that, it's so interesting when you see Paul or anybody else calling somebody else by name in the Bible. But I got to believe that they came together over time and restored the fellowship and restored whatever was going wrong. In verse 3, he elaborates on it. He says, I urge you also, my true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. So what he's encouraging somebody else within the congregation to help them. Now in the King James, it says yoke fellow, but in the New King James is my true companion. And that's what yoke fellow really means. Help these individuals who labored with me in the gospel. So see, these are not people who are unaware. These are not people who are new to Christ, but these are people who have labored in the gospel. He's also asking for others to help them out with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. It's interesting. He's asking for the congregation to assist in the reconciliation of these sisters in Christ. He's asking the rest of the saints to not talk about them, to not shun them, but to help them reconcile with one another. For when they reconcile, all the saints rejoice. Another way we can live in the presence of Christ is to rejoice in the Lord. And that's our next point that comes from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. And after he's telling, in verse 3, after he's telling the saints at the church to help these sisters, he goes on to say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Again, he uses that word rejoice twice in the same verse. Don't you think rejoicing is kind of important to Paul? But look very carefully at what he's saying. He's saying rejoice in the Lord always. That means we don't just rejoice during good times. It is easy to rejoice during the best of times. But can we rejoice in the Lord during the not so best of times? Can we rejoice in the Lord in times of unhappiness? Can we rejoice in the Lord when we receive bad news? Can we rejoice in the Lord when we see saints arguing with one another? Can we rejoice in the Lord? If we're living in the presence of Christ, I contend that we can rejoice in the Lord. And we have several examples throughout Scripture of people who rejoice in the Lord regardless of their circumstances. We can start with the disciples. We can back to Moses, we can go back to David, we can go back to others. People rejoiced in the Lord. Those are the ones who shouted before the battle had even begun. They could rejoice in the Lord. This has not been a usual year for us, because of the pandemic and other things going on in the world, the state of our country. This has not been a good year. But yet, we are still children of God. Yet, he has still given us the provisions that we need. Yet, he is still with us always. So if he is with us always, we can rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. And the last point I want to lift up starts at verse 5, is we can live in the Lord. We can live in the Lord. Look at Philippians 4, 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. What he's saying, be moderate in your behavior. Be reasonable in your behavior. To some of us, that's hard, quite frankly, because life has pressed us in certain ways, has affected us in certain ways. But let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. When he says the Lord is at hand, what he's saying is the Lord is available to help us. If you have problems being gentle, being reasonable with people, being moderate with people, ask the Lord to help you live in the Lord. And there's a few things that can help us in living in the Lord. Starts off with the right prayers, the right way of praying. Let's look at Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He's saying, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about things. Prayer is your conversation with God. It must be done with faith that God hears and will fulfill our prayer requests if it's his will. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is the sincere desire of the heart. Our prayer must come from the heart, not out of greed, but from a heart, from the heart. Ephesians 5:20, Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus, said, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a common theme with Paul, giving thanks always. So therefore, we start off with this life by praying the right way. Let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving and thanking him in advance and thanking him because he is God. And be anxious for nothing. And in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Have you ever felt the peace of God? You know, sometimes we go to the doctor about something and we have tests run, and I know I certainly have, and you know, we would like to have those test results right away, but they tell us it can take a couple of days to happen. We have individuals who are being tested for COVID-19, and the test can take up to a week to get the results back. We all want instant results. You know, and the time period between we take the test and when we get the result can be a time of turmoil within us. It can be a time where we are writing our own script about what the outcome will be. I learned a long time ago, brothers and sisters, I was going through a physical trial years ago. And I learned a lesson from that trial, because when the doctor tells you something that you might not fully understand, the first thing we do is go to a search engine on the internet and we look it up. And for this particular trial, it seemed like everybody I was looking up, everything I looked up about this, people were dying from this. And it kind of worked my nerves for a little while. So what I learned from that, I learned that in times of trials like that, instead of searching for people who died from whatever it is, I started searching for people who live from it. I started searching for people who had overcome it. I was tending to write my own script about what the outcome was going to be. But yet I'm still here. Yet God is still with me. Yet I rejoice in the Lord always, because it could have been the other way. So therefore, I have the peace of God. Therefore, I know that there are some tests that will come that I will truly not know the answer for a few days, a few weeks. But yet I have to have the peace of God, knowing that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So therefore, be at peace. It's hard, it's easy to say. I'll admit, it is so easy to say, but it is so much harder to do. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying to the church in Rome is, therefore, since we are justified, just because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have faith in Jesus Christ, we can have peace with God through Christ. Therefore, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. So when we pray, let us not write our own script of doom and gloom, but let us be optimistic, knowing that God is able. And ask God, whatever the results of the trial is, give me the strength to handle it. Give me the strength to still praise you regardless of what is going on in the body, or what is going on in my family, or what is going on in my finances, what is going on in my job. Give me the strength to still find a reason to rejoice. Whatever condition we have, there is somebody who's much worse off. And sometimes it takes us coming face to face with somebody who's worse off than we are to make us understand and realize how blessed we are. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not only do we need to pray right, but we need to have the right thinking. Look at verse 8. Finally, my brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Not only do we have to have the right prayer attitude, but we have to have the right way of thinking. Again, if we're going to write our own script, let us write our script in a positive way. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, meditate on this. Whatever things are noble, meditate on this. Whatever things are just, justice will prevail. Meditate on this. Whatever things are pure, and we think of pure, we have to separate what is pure from what is filthy. Whatever thing is pure, meditate on this. Whatever things are lovely, meditate on this. Whatever things are a good report, meditate on this. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Remember, Paul is writing to a church that he founded. Paul, think about it. Think about it. You know, we would like to think that if someone who had met Christ, who had been around when Christ was around, we would think that that person would have no problem with churches. We would think that just by his testimony alone, that the saints would come together and be on one accord. We would think by his works alone that they would be anxious for nothing. We would think that, but if he had to write this to the church in Philippi, how much more so does it apply to us right now? Can anybody relate? Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we want to be at peace, we need to be at peace in our heart. We need to separate the good from the bad. And Paul gives us a perfect illustration in the 9th verse, where he says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What Paul is, use me as an example. You have met me face to face, Philippian church. You have sat under my teaching, Philippian church. I am now under house arrest in Rome, but yet I still have faith. I have been under bondage for Christ, but yet I still have my faith. I went to places to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and had to be snuck out of town because people wanted to kill me. But yet I still have my faith. I've even had Christians, early Christians, doubt my sincerity because of my past life. But yet I still have my faith, and I still have my peace of God with me. I used to be a persecutor of Christians, but God has healed my heart, and he has let me know that I am a changed person. So therefore, I do have my peace. Sometimes what we used to do, my brothers and sisters, can weigh us down so much that it keeps us from moving forward to where God wants us to be. But Paul is a perfect example of somebody who sought permission to persecute Christians, who sought permission to have them slaughtered, who sought permission to stamp out Christianity. If there's anybody who was not good enough to be saved, it would have been Paul, who was Saul at the time. But we serve a Christ who came for everybody, and not just for some people. Therefore, Paul was changed on that road to Damascus, on that road, on the way to persecute the Christians and charge them for being against the state. On that road, he met Jesus face to face. On that road, he was made physically blind so he could see the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. On that road, he was forgiven of his past life. On that road, he was forgiven all his past sins. On that road, he was forgiven of everything he had ever done. On that road, he committed his life to Christ. And because of that, the history books will tell us how bad he was, but the gospel will tell us how good he became. Amen. There are some people who want to live in that bad and how bad they used to be. But I encourage us to think of who God wants us to be and who God has made us to be and what God has made us to do. If we can't do it ourselves, think about Paul and use him as an example of somebody who overcame his past, who got on the right path, and now he's in a position where he has shared the truths of Jesus Christ with everyone. He is in a position where he can stand forth and say that these sisters have a disagreement in the church, but brothers and sisters around them, you need to gather around them and not criticize them, but help them come together, because everybody wins when we are on one accord with Christ. Beloved, I can't see you right now. I can't be with you right now, but I love you. To my Beacon Light Church family and friends. And I have the peace of God within me, because regardless of what happens in the future, that we are still his child. Regardless of what happens to our bodies, through sickness or whatever, we are still his child. And we can be happy and we can rejoice if we practice the presence of the Lord in our lives. So God bless you. And I pray that you will continue to practice the presence of the Lord in your life, which starts with finding out how the Lord acted in the first place. And we find that out through this holy book, our Bible, and our guide. Amen.